You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Most writers and radio show hosts know that to connect with your fans, you need to do more than just write books or record the latest podcasts. There are many different elements that go into forming an online platform, but there are also many hidden traps. To make matters worse, solid advice on how to survive the muddy waters is scarce. In the book Hidden Traps, I talk about some of the important issues of working with an online platform, highlighting traps that could put your physical or internet security at risk, or be harmful to your reputation. Are your social media posts just links with a few disjointed words making you look like someone who can't complete a sentence? Did your new website cost you more than you anticipated? Are you leaking your personal contact details across the web without even knowing it? Then you need Hidden Traps. Hidden Traps is now available in paperback and ebook from a variety of retailers, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Visit blackwolfpublications.com for more details.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Sometimes writers feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. It takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our writing into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable writers to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a writer's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
It's Friday, Friday. Oh, let me tell you something. I am so sick of Washington and all its works, all them politicians down there and them congressmen. I'll bet you won't find none of them congressmen signing down their electric blankets tonight. Which if they did, their secretaries would get up and go home.
We gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Toga party.
Toga! Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Toga!
Click, click, boom! I'm coming down on the stereo, hit me on the radio. Click, click, boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
Friday! Friday! Friday!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is finally a Friday right here on the Robinson and Wright Show, the show we do every Friday night right here on KLRN Radio. Every Friday night at 11 p.m.-ish Eastern. I blame Dan tonight. He wasn't prepared. Not that I'm ever really prepared either. But good evening, Dan. How are you, sir?
I'm all frantic.
I know. It's a good thing we weren't running earlier. People would have heard you be like, oh my god, I don't know where my stuff is. I can't find it, doggy. Like, we should really be recording this as outtakes, but I still haven't started doing that yet. I probably should. Alright, so anyway. So in case, for those of you that are like tuned in elsewhere, because you know, the show's picked up all over the place, you may not necessarily be able to see the title. So guess what? Today's title is, hey, guess what? Hamas and MS-13 are the new Diet Coke of evil, at least according to the media, because you know, they're all cool now. You know, it's they're good guys. NRA? Yeah, terrorist bastards. MS-13 and Hamas, they're the new good guys. This is the world we live in today, folks. Just saying. Let that sink in.
That's right. It, you know, because Trump calls MS-13 animals and all hell breaks loose. He called immigrants animals. Yeah. Immigrants that come here and, you know, carve up pregnant girls and chop their heads off. Stab people 100 times and rip their heart out. Go to parties and lure kids into the woods and dismember them while they're alive as an initiation so they can be in the club. Yeah, they're not animals. They're just poor immigrants. Poor immigrants with no guidance. Maybe the left feels like they can cure them, like they cured ISIS.
Are they going to use, you know, the dreaded electro gay shock therapy thing to cure them? Is that the left's plan?
No, hugs. Hugs. Oh. Hugs are going to cure them.
It's hugs. Hugs are going to cure them. So wait, do we mean like actual hugs or the nasty version of Hershey's Kisses?
No, actual hugs.
Okay, just checking. You know,
all they need to do is they need to find where the MS-13 are hanging out and go in there and give them hugs and everything will be fine.
So basically what you're saying is they want to perpetuate Barack Obama's Hug-a-Thug program.
Yes.
Because that's the old
Hug-a-Thug. Hug-a-Thug is back.
Because that's the only solution. We have to hug the thugs.
It's the only way. Peace on earth, man. Peace on earth. Love cures all.
Except herpes. Actually, love can sometimes cause herpes and a few other things.
Yes, it can.
Sorry.
I'm in the whole love fest with with, you know, it's a love fest with the Palestinians. I mean, come on, give me a break. You know, that the whole thing the other day with us moving our embassy and the embassy opening and the protest and the Israelis are just shooting discriminately and killing people. Hamas came out and said that 50 of the 58 protesters killed were their operatives.
Yeah. But,
and they were armed.
Yeah, but, you know, not according to, you know, every other American news media outlet. I mean, dude, when Hamas throws you under the bus, that should tell you something.
That's right. Hamas was literally saying, no mainstream media, those were our operatives, and they were using our weapons. But you're freedom fighters, right? Well, maybe, but we were using weapons. They shot us.
Well, I mean,
we were using weapons.
They really are freedom fighters. They're fighting for the freedom to throw gays from rooftops and chop the heads off of Christians.
And overrun Israel and take it over and kill all the Jews.
Well, yeah, I forgot about killing the Jews. They've always wanted to kill the Jews.
Right. That's what these people don't understand. Israel is literally surrounded by their enemies. Everybody around, it's a country, and every other country around it wants to eradicate them. And the left sits there and goes, oh my God, horrible Israel, they're defending themselves again.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's this weird cycle, dude. Like Hamas does attack after attack after attack after attack after attack. Bunch of crickets. Israel finally says, you know what? That last one was a little too much, so here you go. Oh my
right.
God, Israel is the worst state sponsor of terrorism in the entire Middle East, and America's cozying up to them again, and this is all Donald Trump's fault because he moved the embassy. It's terrible. Shut up.
Yeah, it's like the thing they were saying the other day. Oh, look at this picture. All they have are burning tires and rocks, and Israel shooting at them. Warfare, I never knew that you had to make sure that your enemy had the same firepower you had before you struck back. I mean, apparently Israel was just supposed to sit back, let them overrun the fences, and come in and murder them. That's the only way Israel will ever be looked at, the Israelis will ever be looked at as fair, is if they let Hamas overrun the fence, come in, murder them all, and then the rest of the world will go, oh, well, maybe Israel was right. I can't believe they came in and murdered all of them. Poor Israel. Now, Hamas attacks, Hamas throws grenades, Hamas shoots rockets over the fence and everything else, and then Israel hits them with a blitzkrieg, and everybody goes, oh my God, horrible Israel. How long do they have to sit back with rockets flying over the fence and grenades flying over the fence and their soldiers getting hit with rocks and burning tires and whatever else? How long do they have to sit back and take it before the rest of the world goes, okay, you can attack now?
Yeah, I don't... What drives me crazy, you know, it's not even necessarily the media's reaction. It's everybody else's reaction. Like, I was in... now, and for those of you who don't know, because a lot of people don't, when this whole crazy idea of mine started that eventually morphed into K98 Talk and then now KLRN Radio, when it all started, it started as a Facebook page. And it started as me running basically a typical right-leaning conservative Facebook page, because when I first came up with the idea, there were only a handful. And then after a few months of doing it, I kind of got bored with it. So I got this idea of bringing a liberal friend of mine in, and we basically turned it into a Facebook page that was kind of like the Facebook version of a low-rent Hannity and Combs thing. I was on the right, he was on the left, and we would kind of post topics back and forth and do all these things. Well, we got in this long tweet stream yesterday going back and forth because I kept trying to get him to understand why I was as angry as I was, because he didn't seem to get it. He's like, but you don't understand. Even if Donald Trump meant MS-13, He never once mentioned MS-13. I said, Dave, if you go back and you listen to the actual video and the audio, he answers the question right after the reporter mentions MS-13. Now, I understand Donald Trump is not a politician, so he didn't think about, you know, well, yes, to answer your question, as far as I'm concerned, MS-13 are a bunch of animals, and I'm glad that we're getting them out as quickly as we can. Because he's not a politician. He doesn't think that way. He answered a question by saying, you're asking me about these people? They're animals. We're getting them out of here as quickly as we can. That was Donald Trump's answer. That was taken out of context and played everywhere to the point where even CNN eventually came out and said, you know what, guys, if you go back and listen to the whole thing, he was obviously talking about MS-13. But by then, the damage was done. We had people putting out GIFs or like memes of Adolf Hitler. And the next picture below that was Donald Trump. The Jews are animals. Oh, my God. Illegal immigrants are animals. Oh, my God. Trump's no better than Hitler. Stuff like that is why Donald Trump will probably win in 2020, because you guys still don't get it. You don't understand what's going on. We are literally in a fight for our lives, and nobody seems to understand it. You have a media right now that is so hell-bent on destroying this man and his entire administration that they will do and say and get in bed with anyone they have to and anything they have to do to make sure that he either gets removed, impeached, or whatever they can do before even his first four-year term is done, because they're losing their grasp on America. They already have, because there's all these different media outlets that are available now. I mean, that's like, I talk to people all the time that, well, I mean, you know, because I know some people that are kind of big in the production side of things and a few other things in like music and TV and everything else. And they're like, dude, this whole internet thing is changing everything, because they don't have to come to us anymore. We've got people that are becoming millionaires off of YouTube channels, putting out their news stories or their ideas or their hobbies. The internet has changed everything to a point where now the media, because they have to survive, they're willing to do anything to get you to click on a headline. Even if it means completely lying, even if it means openly embracing evil and telling you that evil is good. And that's what they've been doing all week. They've made Hamas look like Girl Scouts while they're screaming that the NRA are terrorists.
Yep.
Sorry,
that
was kind of long.
No,
I apologize.
It was right on point. This is what just absolutely kills me about this. Is this was a press conference, and somebody from the press asked a question about MS-13, and the President of the United States answered their question, and the press missed the question. All they took was the answer and missed the question. This is a press conference. They took the answer and did what they wanted to do with it. They did not care what the question was. If I was President Trump, I would say, hey, guess what? No more press conferences. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I don't really give a fuck. I don't really give a darn, sorry.
It wasn't me this
what
time.
You people, I don't really care about what you people think about it or say about it.
But you know, the thing that drives me crazy is I keep seeing people say, "Oh my God, what are we going to do to fix this? How are we going to fix this? How are our politicians going to fix this?" You want to know the easiest way to fix this? I mean, the down and dirty, quick, easy fix. You know, take mental health and everything else off the table, because if we fix this one thing, then none of that will matter, because it will all start taking care of itself, because people will start mattering again. The problem is right now, human life means absolutely nothing in this country. Human life means next to nothing pretty much everywhere in the world. Look at all the people that are being slaughtered on a daily basis today. Look at what's been happening in Great Britain when you have children that are being forced off of life support because the courts decide that they're no longer viable human beings and it's better to put them out of their misery. We now have people here that are so, I mean, they're taught from the day they exist, oh, you won the lottery, you got to be alive. Be thankful your parents didn't have an abortion, because if it wasn't for that, you would, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be here, because, you know, children, they're an inconvenience now. They're a parasite. Most people don't want to have them anymore because they're too focused on making sure that they have all the nice things and all the things and be able to go on the trips that they want to be able to go on and have all the money that they want and the nice car, the nice house. We don't have personal accountability anymore. We have personal satisfaction at all cost. Everything and everyone is disposable, from our razors to our genders. If it doesn't make you happy, get rid of it. Your wife pisses you off? Good, go find another one. There's 4 million more right down there on the street corner. Just go pick another one. Oh, you decide you don't want to be a guy today? Make an appointment with a doctor. They'll chop your penis off and you can be a woman by tomorrow. Everything is disposable. So nothing matters. Literally nothing matters. To the point where we have kids that are going into schools and blowing the crap out of people because, as far as they're concerned, nothing matters.
Yeah. But the problem is the NRA and the guns.
Well, yeah, but that's the easy solution.
I see everybody saying, you know, the NRA has created this gun culture. What has the NRA done to create any kind of gun culture? All the NRA does is what the body of their membership wants them to do, which is be a voice with the government. Yes, the NRA lobbies. Yes, they do. I hear this all the time. NRA only are a bunch of lobbyists. Well, that's part of it. They lobby. They do. That's what they do. Just like Planned Parenthood lobbies with our tax money, by the way. But the NRA is the leading gun safety advocate and training organization in the world. They preach gun safety. That's their main thing, is teaching responsible gun ownership. The left does not understand that, or they don't care, one or the other, because they want to use them as something to point their finger at.
Well, that's the easy.
They are calling somewhere between 3 and 5 million Americans. I think it's actually up over 5 million now. Actually, 5 million plus Americans terrorists.
Yeah. No. I mean, I used to be inactive, and I remember when I was carrying a gun all the time for when I worked. I mean, I still carry a gun. Not going to tell anybody what kind or where it typically is, but I do carry a weapon. For anybody freaks out, I have a concealed carry permit. Unfortunately, I have to, because my governor vetoed constitutional carry last week. I'm still really, really pissed off about that.
Yeah, our governor did here, too, last year.
That's a story for another day. So here's the thing, though. I was an active member of the NRA for years. I kind of really got to the point where I kind of let it lapse. I'm an active member again. And probably around Christmas time, I'm going to surprise all my boys with lifetime memberships to the NRA. And then next year, not this year for my birthday, because it's next week. Actually, it's a week from today, believe it or not. I'm about to be an old man. But anyway, so probably next year for my birthday, I'm going to buy myself a lifetime membership to the NRA, because I'm done with having my rights taken away. I'm done with being pushed around all because people want to blame the instrument, not the actual problem. Because, and look, now I actually have a solution for today. Nobody's going to like the solution for today, but let me explain it to you, because a lot of the issues that I have about today, this was a 17-year-old child who never should have been allowed anywhere near a firearm. So my solution to avoid situations like today is you make parents understand that if the children that you are legally responsible for get a hold of your firearm and go shoot up people, you're going to be sued into oblivion. And or criminally charged unless you file a report against them for stealing your firearms and agree to allow them to be prosecuted as adults. Otherwise, you're going down for it too, because they were ultimately your weapons, and it's your responsibility as the adult in the house to keep your damn weapons safe. If you can't keep them away from your children, you shouldn't have them.
I spent the money on a gun safe. It's either they're either on me or they're in the safe. It's a real easy solution, and you know, I learned a lot of that from combination of my father and the NRA.
I know this evil place that, you know, breeds terrorists is the place that, you know, other than the training that I went through for like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, everything else I know about gun safety, I either learned from my father, my grandfather, or the NRA. So before we start demonizing the NRA, how about, you know, I mean, if we're going to start doing something about trying to make things better, one thing I would probably be okay with is if people that own firearms were mandatorily required to go through NRA gun safety training. I would probably be okay with that. As much as I don't like the government making things mandatory, that's about the only thing I can think of that might actually fix some of the problem, because the biggest thing that we have going on now is we have kids getting hold of firearms that have no idea what it means to respect a firearm. Their only exposure to firearms is video games, and they think they're boom boom steaks. I have my son, my middle son, who is an avid video game player and probably one of the best Call of Duty players I've ever seen. First time I took him to a shooting range to try to explain to him, you know, these video games that you're playing, this is not anything like real life, son. And this was back when he swore up and down that he was going to go into the military. So when he got old enough for me to take him to the gun range, I took him to the gun range, and we actually rented the civilian version of the M16. Because that was probably going to be the closest thing that I could get to that he might be carrying. And also a 45 caliber, because that was the typical duty weapon for the Air Force at the time. So I had him shoot both of those at a gun range. He fired the AR-15 twice and was done. He's like, "Dad, I don't even like doing this." I said, "But you just told me you want to go into the military." He said, "I don't really think I want to do that anymore." So, I mean, but the reason I bring this up is because that's something else that I've seen all day today. It's video games' fault because it teaches kids how to be violent. Boys have been violent since the dawn of time. I remember when I was a kid, we were playing Cops and Robbers, Cowboys and Indians. Pretty much anything that we could play that had anything to do with guns and violence, we were playing it. Now, for those of you that are like, "Well, you just had your imagination. Things weren't nearly as violent back then because you had to imagine the violence." I used to write short stories for fun. I have a really good imagination. You can imagine how violent some of the things that I was imagining were happening when we were playing Cops and Robbers and Cowboys and Indians. I'm pretty sure most of the little boys probably had a pretty vivid imagination too. So don't tell me that it wasn't realistic violence, because imagination is imagination. But the thing about it is, if you look at the studies about a lot of this stuff, they're actually finding that these video games, instead of actually causing a proclivity towards violence, they're actually allowing an outlet for testosterone, because boys don't have that anymore, because they're told that
masculinity is toxic. You're, oh, you're so right where you're heading with this.
I know, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought you were about done. I just. I mean, a kid bites his Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun, a 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid, and gets suspended from school for it. I mean, I knew where you were heading with this. Let boys be boys. Let them be boys. That's the problem. Boys can't be boys anymore. Everything they do, they're scorned for.
All of it. I mean, you're.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, before I say what I'm about to say, I want you guys to understand. I'm not slamming anybody, but I want you guys to understand something. My wife, my second wife and I, when we got together, she already had one son. She had spent most of her early childhood raising that son because she, like me, started having children a little bit earlier than we should have. We spent most of the earliest parts of our relationship together arguing about the fact that she didn't seemed to understand that he needed to learn how to be a boy. when she let him ride his bike, she wanted him to ride his bike in the backyard, in the fence, in the grass. And I said, that's not how that's supposed to work. When she wanted him to play outside, she wanted him to play, even when he was 8, 9, 10 years old, only in the front yard. We only had like a 5-foot by 5-foot front yard. And I'm like, honey, he's got friends right next door. Let him go play with his friends. Let him ride his bike in the street. Let him figure out what it actually means to be a boy. This is part of what I'm talking about. And believe me when I say this, I am not slamming single moms right now. But I want you guys to understand, this is an epidemic in this country because we have too many single moms who have no idea what it actually means to raise a boy, because you guys aren't wired the way that we are. You're wired to keep everybody safe. You nest. You protect. You nurture. That's your job. That's not what boys do. That's not what boys need. And that's one of the things. We butted heads for years over our oldest because it's just the way things were, because she didn't see things the way that I saw them. Eventually, she started understanding that I wasn't trying to be hard on him on purpose, and I wasn't trying to push him, and I wasn't trying to make him do things. I was trying to make him understand that at some point, you're going to have to stand up on your own. That's part of the reason why honestly, I think some of these kids that go and do this stuff, they're doing it for one reason, because if you notice, they're all around the same age. These recent shootings have all happened somewhere between about the ages of 17 and 21. These are the transitional ages for adulthood. These are kids that obviously don't understand what it means to be an adult. So they're using what they think is a quick way to garner 15, 20 minutes worth of fame and go out in a blaze of glory, and hopefully either somebody's going to kill them or they're going to wind up being taken care of for the rest of their lives because they're going to be in prison. And I have to say, I think that is somewhere in the back of each one of these boys' heads when they do this, because they have no idea how to be an adult. They have no idea how to cope. They have zero coping mechanisms because everybody gets a participation trophy now. Nobody knows what it means when you don't succeed, because now everybody succeeds no matter what. We're destroying our youth.
Yeah, there's, you know, people don't understand, is there's something to be said about losing occasionally when you're a kid.
And it's not even as a kid. You know, you learn more from your failure than you ever do from your success. As long as you pick yourself up and dust yourself off and keep on going, you are going to learn a million times more when you fall down than you do when it finally works.
No, absolutely. I mean, I started seeing it. I don't know. I never had the whole participation trophy thing when I was a kid. Started seeing a little bit with my brother. My brother's 4 years younger than me, and I actually kind of helped coach his t-ball team. You know, and it was, oh, we're not keeping score and whatever. And then he went from that into baseball and everything was fine. But then I saw it with my kids, you know, with soccer and t-ball and everything else. It was, oh, we don't keep score here. It's all about the fun. And it got to the point where even early into baseball, it was, we're not keeping score. No team wins or loses. I was like, oh, this is crap. And I was happy. My sons got into football and wrestling, and I think to this day you probably don't really have participation trophies in football or wrestling. But my sons, especially with wrestling, I mean, it's such a grueling sport. It hurts to lose, but you know, especially when it gets to something big. I mean, I have my oldest son finished second or finished third 2 years in a row, and second the third year in the state AAU tournament. He was devastated, but he shook it off and he was fine. You know, but he learned. I mean, one of the third place finishes, he beat the kid that kept him from being in the championship round the second time he wrestled him for third place. I was like, well, you beat him the second time. Why didn't you beat him the first time? Because I wasn't ready. Okay. Well, now you know. Next time you'll be ready, won't you? You know, it's lessons learned.
Sorry, I forgot I was muted. I'm sitting over here going, no, exactly. And I'm like, wait, I don't hear myself, which means he can't hear me either. All right, so, but no, it's exactly that. And that's part of, I mean, part of what would, I mean, again, the easiest way to stop all this is start realizing that human lives matter again. They need to matter from birth to death. They need to matter while they're in the home. They need to matter when they're away from home. We need to make sure that people understand history so that we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again, which we always seem to do anyway. And at the same time, we also need to make sure that people understand that at the end of the day, you are ultimately responsible for what happens in your life. Not your government, not your neighbors, not your friends. That's great. If they want to come together and help you, that's awesome. They really should do that. But at the end of the day, you have to be responsible. You have to find a way to make sure that you survive. You have to find a way to make sure that your family is okay. You have to find a way to make sure that your family is fed. And you have to be able to do those things. Those are the things that we used to teach kids. We don't do that anymore. Now, the last bastion of boys being able to be boys has now become Scouts of America BSA because they're going to start letting girls in. Why did we need to change the entire Boy Scouts? Why couldn't the Girl Scouts just say, you know what, a lot of girls like a lot of the things that the Boy Scouts are doing, so maybe we should start teaching them that stuff too instead of teaching them how to sell cookies and bake brownies. And make the Girl Scouts more fun for girls, because apparently, you know, they like to do a lot of, like, the Pinewood Derby things and the campings and all of the other things, so maybe we should do those things. But no, we had to completely change the Boy Scouts, which, again, I'm sorry, is another mistake, because that's part of the problem. These divisions are necessary. That's one of the things, now that my children are older and they've started venturing into dating, it's one of the things that I've been trying to make them understand, because we all make these same mistakes in our early relationships where we think we have to be with that person because they complete us for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can never be apart from them. That's not how relationships are designed to work. That's not how life is designed to work. You cannot be constantly around the other sex 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not have it start leading to problems. You can't be around the same group of people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not have it lead to problems. We need separations. We need times where it's okay to be girls, and we need times where it's okay to be boys. And we also need to get back to the reality that no matter what the Democrats say, science says there's boys and girls. You know, in the words of, you know, the kindergarten cop, boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. It's pretty damn simple.
Yeah, we're obviously biologically different, and we're wired different. Our brains are wired different.
I mean, and they literally are. I mean, that's like one of the hardest things for me to understand when it came to when I, you know, started getting serious about relationships and started dating seriously and eventually got engaged and eventually got married. When my significant other would come to me with a problem, I didn't realize until about 5 minutes ago, to be quite frankly honest, that they weren't wanting me to fix the problem for them. They were wanting me to listen and hold their hand while they vented about the problem and maybe give them a hug, because we're wired differently. I think that's honestly why the Democrats want to hug it out. I think they have too much estrogen. It's the only thing that makes sense to me, because that's their answer to everything. We're just going to sit down, we're going to talk, we're going to hold hands, and we're going to hug it out. That's not how everything is designed to work, but it used to drive me crazy because guys are fixers. You come to us with a problem, we find out how to make that problem go away. That's our job. That's how we're biologically wired. Women, no. Women don't want you to fix it. Women want you to sit there and let them talk it to death, and that used to drive me insane to the point where after 20 minutes of listening to them, I was just like, can we just do something else now, please? Because I told you 25 minutes ago how to fix it, and you don't want to listen to me. So can we just do something else now, please? This is why I was single for a very long time, because it took me a long time to figure out exactly how different we were. But that's one of the things that it seems like, while we can figure it out on a singular level when we come together as a couple, you know, one-on-one, we can figure out, you know, you and I handle things differently. You know, my wife is a complete and total organizational freak. I, however, because I'm usually working on about 14 different projects at a time, my desk looks like a whirlwind hit it. And that's fine, because I still know where everything is, but it drives her crazy. So we understand that when we're in a relationship, but we can't seem to take that to the outside world and realize, you know, not everybody's wired the same way. Not everybody's going to approach a problem the same way. Not everybody's going to react to stress the same way. When we can start looking at those things and understand that everybody's going to be at least markedly different in how they react to things, and stop trying to do this cookie-cutter thing of, well, if we just make all the guns go away, life's going to be great. Well, how did that work out for Australia? Because they still have gun violence over there. They don't talk to you about it, but you can go find the numbers. They're there, and for a country that isn't supposed to have guns, and they seem to think they've gotten rid of all of them, the fact that there's gun violence over there at all should alarm you. Great Britain, same way. Not only do they still have gun violence, they have so much knife violence, the mayor of London is threatening to ban steak knives. That's not a joke. That's a literal thing. They have so much knife violence over there that they're talking about passing laws to ban knives. I haven't been able to keep track of it, so I don't know if they've actually done it yet, but that is something they're honestly talking about over there. Because we keep coming back to the same problem. The gun is not the problem. The instrument that commits the murder is not the problem. The murder problem is a problem with the heart, because guess what? Murder's already illegal. No matter what other laws you put in the books, no matter what are the things you try to put back in the box, murder is still illegal, and it's not going to go away unless or until we make people understand that your life is not any more important than anybody else's. Because that's the problem we have right now. We have this generation that thinks that they're the important ones. Because they're entitled to everything. The generation of entitlement, nobody realizes what that's done. That's made every single one of them feel like the world owes them something. To the point where each one of them feels that they are the most important person on the planet. So that's another problem. Because if you're the most important person on the planet, the people around you can't be as important as you. Therefore, they don't matter as much as you. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you do to them or how you treat them. Because you're the most important person on the planet. Because you yourself are entitled to everything. When everyone starts thinking that way, this is where we wind up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said it two things today. Number one, everybody's going crazy over today's shooting, and you know, it's all the NRA's fault and everything else. The kid went into that school. We touched on it a little bit. Went into that school with a shotgun and a revolver that were legally owned by his father. What gun law would have stopped that? And two, one of my favorite quotes, and I find myself using it constantly, is from Joe Rogan. It's, this country has a mental health problem disguised as a gun problem.
I mean, there's no other way to look at it, because everything that I've talked about today, as much as I can in plain English, stems from mental health issues. Because when you think you're the most important person in the room, guess what? That's called narcissism. Narcissism is a legitimate mental disorder. Narcissism is a problem. That's why everybody keeps trying to say that Donald Trump is a narcissist, because it's a scary thing when you start thinking about the fact that this person thinks that they're the most important person in the room or the most important person on the planet. The problem is we have an entire generation of narcissists. They think that they themselves are the most important person on the planet. They themselves are the only one that matters, and everyone else is just stage prop or secondary cast to their movie called Life. And you may think I'm joking right now, but think about it. With the fact that they have cameras in their hands 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with computers attached to them, I've actually done entire pre-recorded podcasts before when I was in a hurry or traveling from my cell phone. That is the computing power that these things have now. So these people literally are walking around thinking that they're starring in a movie of their life and that they are the star and everyone else is a bit player, so it doesn't matter what happens to them. That is a problem. That is a huge problem. It's a terrible problem. problem, because it puts us right back to what we've been talking about. We have an entire generation that thinks they're the only ones that matter. We have the generation above them who for the most part seem to think that guns are the problem, that if we make those go away, that magically the problem's going to go away, when nothing could be further from the truth. Because it isn't a gun problem, it's a problem with the human heart. When you think you're the only person that matters, when you're taught from the moment you're born to the moment you die that human life no longer really matters, because you see it discarded everywhere, in every way humanly possible, all day, every day, from people being allowed to sleep on park benches while we're fighting over illegal immigrants, from people that are being murdered in the streets, from people that are being gang raped by actual illegal immigrant gangs. Yes, MS-13, I'm talking about you right now. Then you guys don't understand what's been happening to our youth for now decades. They have been desensitized to the point where it doesn't matter anymore that somebody goes into a school and shoots up things. But I have another question, because as a guy that used to do security work for a living, I have all kinds of alarm bells going off in my head right now, because as somebody that used to work properties, and the first thing I would usually do if I was coming onto a property is I would go in the day we signed the contract, before anybody else knew who I was, I would start going into the property and probing for weaknesses, looking for cameras, seeing where things needed to be fixed. So, you know, I don't have the ability to do that with this particular property because I've never been there, but I have huge problems. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure it was like 90 degrees here today, so I'm pretty sure in Texas it was probably about the same. Although this kid walked into a school with a trench coat on in what I would assume would be at least 80-plus degree weather, with a sawed-off shotgun in the trench coat, and yet somehow there was either no security, or the security didn't seem to notice that someone was wearing a long-sleeve trench coat in 80-degree weather. As someone that's trained people to look for anomalies for 15 years, if there was somebody there that saw that and they didn't do anything, that person should be being sued along with the dad, because you missed something huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of... First story I read on this was from CNN, talking about how the kid was wearing a trench coat, and he had this trench coat. Apparently, it was his thing, and it had all kinds of, I mean, Nazi, Russian, you know, communist and fascist, like, pins and stuff all over it. And, you know, there's some signs. When a kid lives in Texas, where it's warm pretty much all year round, and even when it's in the upper 80s, 90s, still wears this trench coat, I mean, and he's doing it every day, where is anybody talking to this kid, you know, asking him if things are okay? You know, apparently a little bit of a loner, and apparently from what I heard that he played football for a while, and one of the other kids that was interviewed said that he got bullied really bad by the coaches. You ever think maybe the kid's got some problems, maybe he needs some help? This starts with the parents. I mean, if my kid wants to wear a trench coat to school every day, I'm going to say something about it. You know, I'm hearing mixed reports too, that apparently maybe there's another kid mixed up in this, possibly a kid that, I don't know, maybe helped him get the guns into the school. I don't know. But I mean, blame the gun.
So I just, the part that I, okay, so set the guns aside for a second. From a security standpoint, again, something else that I don't understand, and correct me if there's been something that's come out that's talked about this and I missed it. One of the reports that I kept seeing that started coming out shortly after the incident was apparently they were finding improvised explosive devices planted around either inside or outside of the school. How in the hell was this kid making... Well, I guess that's probably a dumb question, because I'm sure they can find it on YouTube. You know, conservative YouTube channels get blocked. IED channels, not so much. But I kept thinking, how in the hell is a 17-year-old kid making improvised explosive devices? But then I forgot how ingenious I was as a 17-year-old and all the things that I did that I really wasn't supposed to do. So, but again, from a security perspective, how the hell was he planning them around the school? Did the school have security? Because as far as I knew, it did.
I mean, from what I gather, I mean, I'm sure not in every district in Texas, but a lot of the Texas school districts have some pretty darn good security in the schools. But, I mean, who knows? But, like you said, I mean, if I'm a resource officer, a police officer in a school, I'm probably going to question a kid coming into the school, like you said, with the trench coat on when it's 90 degrees outside.
I mean, I know I definitely would have. I mean, I might have gotten shot before I figured out what was going on, but one of the first things I would have been doing was walking up to the kid, probably with my hand on my holster, saying, "Why in the world are you coming up here with a trench coat? Let's stay where you are and open the coat so I can see what's going on." I mean, you know, that's, you know, private security 101. You're looking for the things that are out of the ordinary. You're looking for the things that don't fit. A kid wearing a trench coat when it's probably around 90 degrees outside doesn't fit. I have problems with all kinds of this, but again, at the end of the day, for this one issue, because, you know, this isn't a gun control problem. This was a shotgun and a handgun. You know, no matter how many blue checks on Twitter wanted to try to scream about it being an AR-15, it wasn't an AR-15. It was a shotgun and a handgun. So let's get the gun control stuff off the table, unless you're telling me that now I can't own a shotgun or a handgun, because guess what? I own both, and feel free to come try and take them. But at the end,
that's right.
But at the end of the day, if you really want to think about how we can fix this stuff, and people aren't going to like this part of it, but I'm just going to tell you exactly how I feel about it. If somebody is stupid enough, I don't care how old they are, to take a gun into a school and start shooting at children, they don't deserve to be arrested. Just telling you how I see it. If you are able to take them alive, that's fine. But if they're a minor, just like this child, then ultimately, at the end of the day, the parents of that child should be held criminally negligible for allowing them to get a hold of their firearms, because they're the adults in the household. If we're going to fix the problem, we're going to have to fix the problem. And if we start making these people understand, if you go into our schools and start shooting up our kids, you're probably not going to survive. And if you allow your kids to do it, we're coming after you too, then maybe some of this shit will finally stop.
But the problem is, you're right. You're 100% right. Problem is, that will never happen. Because, well, I won't say never, but you got one side where you know, you have people like Shannon Watts, who deep down inside, I'm pretty sure that as soon as she saw this news this morning, she got giddy. Yes, another thing I can put out there to get guns just out of everybody's hands. They're grave dancers. Shannon Watts lives for this stuff.
Well, Alyssa Milano does anymore, too, which saddens me because she was my first ever Hollywood crush, and now I can't stand her. Sad. Her. But
I didn't even look at anything she posted today. I really didn't want to.
I did. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't go find it. Bunny thumped her, and then I saw it, and I was like, damn it.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, Shannon Watts immediately just demonizing Ted Cruz for his thoughts and prayers, you know, because that's such a terrible thing. It's such a terrible thing to have victims of a shooting in your thoughts and prayers, but, you know, it's a terrible thing because Ted Cruz is doing nothing to take guns off the street. Her whole timeline was was just going after every single senator and representative in Texas.
And she blocked me, so I don't know.
She can't block me because I just, you know, I don't have accounts long enough to be blocked.
This is true. Damn troublemaker.
I basically what I said to her today, I said, the way you act and your grave dancing is just unbecoming. And it is. She lives for this. I guarantee you, as soon as she saw this come across her news feed, she got a big smile on her face. She doesn't care about those kids. She really doesn't. She cares about her fame and her agenda. That's all she cares about.
I mean, that's pretty much everybody else anymore. For the most part. I mean, that's why 90% of the people that are on social media are on social media right now. How many followers can I get? How many likes can I get? How many clicks can I get? That's what makes me feel important. And then they don't realize that none of this stuff actually really matters at the end of the day. I mean, the only reason I'm even on social media at this point isn't even really so much show promotion anymore, because it's gotten to the point where it's pointless because Twitter's throttling back everything they possibly can. But it's because of the people that I've met along the way, you know, like you and the other people that I co-host with and the other people that I've kept up with from other networks that I've gotten to know along the way. And that's really what I use it for, is to basically interact with people and occasionally yell at the stupid, because that's part of what keeps me sane. Because, you know, this has basically helped me get off blood pressure medication, because I was always so angry about everything that I was seeing. And I've found ways to turn this into things that can actually reach people, impact people. And now I've got people that are bugging me all the time to come talk at places. And I'm like, I really don't want to do that. But now that I've done this longer, they're like, dude, you really should come talk to these people. And I'm like, but I don't want to. But I'm kind of starting to lean more towards the idea of, you know, I can't just spend all my time behind a mic, because if I really want to make a difference, I have to start doing it in all the available avenues. And that's kind of what I started all this for, was to try to make a difference. And if anything, the fact that there were, what, two shootings within 12 hours, 12 to 14 hours of each other today, tells me that were reported, tells me that there really is a lot of work that needs to be done and a lot of help that needs to be given. So if I can find ways to start doing that, then I guess I really don't have a choice, because I can't just sit and watch it anymore, and I can't just sit and watch the left demonize everybody for wanting to be able to protect and defend ourselves. Because at the end of the day, when our guns are gone, that means we don't have any way to protect ourselves anymore. It's not about just being able to stop the bad guy. The Second Amendment isn't about hunting. It isn't about self-protection. Not the way it's being sold today. That's why it's the Second Amendment. It's at the top. There's 10 of them that matter as far as the Bill of Rights go. Why is that the second one? Because they kind of put them in order of importance. The first one was the freedom from the government establishing a religion so that we didn't wind up with the George H.W. Bush version of the Bible. Not this crap that it's been bastardized into today, where you can't have prayer in schools and you can't do this in schools because then the government's recognizing your religion. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with the government recognizing a religion. It has to do with the government establishing or founding a religion. That's what they tried. That's what they wanted to get away from, because they had the King of England, who basically usurped the entire area and said, guess what? You can't be Catholic anymore. Now you have to use this Bible because I said so, and this is the only church that you can go to, and if you don't like it, I don't care, because I will kill you. That's part of the reason why they left. It wasn't because they didn't want a government that recognized that religion was important. It was because they didn't want a government that said this is the only religion that you can follow, and you have to use the George, or even the Barack Obama version of the Quran. If you want to take it to a whole nother level, we could talk about that. All of a sudden, because, I mean, look, The dude had a Ramadan meeting every time Ramadan started. Don't tell me he wasn't a Muslim. I'm just saying. We can just put that to bed now because he's not president anymore and he also won't shut up, so I don't have to take the gloves off anymore. But so we could be talking about that too. What if Barack Obama, while he was president, suddenly decided that, you know, the only religion that mattered was Islam, but the only version of Islam that mattered was his version, and here's the Barack Obama version of the Quran, and that's the only one that you can follow. That's what they were trying to protect us from. That's the only thing they were trying to protect us from. But so why is the Second Amendment right there next to the First? Because the founders knew what they had done, and the founders knew that it was this crazy experiment. If you go and you read the founders' papers, none of them thought the American experiment would last longer than 50 years. And they were afraid that at some point along the way, somebody was going to come in, try to usurp too much of the power, and people were going to have to rise up again. That's what the Second Amendment is about. It isn't about hunting. It isn't even about self-protection at the end of the day. It's about making sure that at the end of the day, if your government tries to come in and take away your property, your rights, your whole way of being without due process, that you have the ability to defend yourself. It really is that simple. And the fact that we have an entire generation of people now that want to vilify guns because of people that are insane and should never have access to guns in the first place, that's not my problem.
No.
Sorry, I'm ranting tonight. Sorry.
I said something earlier today. I said, I remember exactly how I put it. I basically said that liberty does not keep you safe. It gives you the freedom to protect yourself and your loved ones. It's not there to keep you safe. You're there to keep yourself safe. Liberty is not... If liberty and freedom are dangerous, to be honest with you, but they're liberty and freedom. The more we lose, the quote-unquote safer we may be, I question that. But people don't understand, you know, there's a price to pay for freedom. Many prices to pay for freedom. And you can't expect freedom to be free. It's not. I mean, there's a toll. And I don't think people realize that. You know, if you take away freedom and liberty, what do you have? You have a nanny state government that tells you what you can and can't do. And you can't pick and choose when it comes to that. You know, and we're getting to that point. You know, we're typically, I'd say, about a decade behind England on how things go.
And we usually are. I mean, that's part of what scares me about what we're seeing going on over there is we're usually about a decade behind them in a lot of ways, which makes absolutely no sense to me because we went to war to get away from these fuckers and now we're doing everything we can to rejoin them. To the point now where we have American royalty in a few hours, which has never been done
before. Yeah.
The last time someone from British royalty was going to marry an American, he was forced to abdicate his throne. Because that's not ever been done before. That's just, I don't know, to me that just seems really, really weird. Because it's almost like they're finding a backdoor way to usurp America again. And I know that's Alex Jones sounding, and I'm kind of saying it as a joke, but at the same time, I'm just watching this going, is this really a thing? Because what happens when 20, 30 years from now, suddenly she's the Queen of England, but she's also American? I'm so confused.
Yeah. I don't know. I try not to pay any attention to it because I don't know. I don't give two Fs about the royal family or any of that crap.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't either. But, you know, this is just... The only reason I'm even paying attention to it at all is, like I said, this is completely unprecedented. This has only happened one other time in history, and the person who was a sitting member of the throne of the royal family in Great Britain who wanted to marry an American was forced to abdicate his throne to be able to do so. So the society, I guess, there has changed enough that now that's not going to be a requirement, which ultimately means at some point we may have an American monarch in London. That sounds like a weird werewolf movie or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, just realized we're like really, really long, and we didn't take a break, so we've been super long. So anything else you want to talk about on the way out?
No, just that we touched on the Second Amendment, the First Amendment and stuff, and something that I like to point out is that the Second Amendment is where it is because it's there to protect the First.
Yeah, good way to look at it as any. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this particular episode of Robinson and Wright. We will be back with you next week. Providing there's no rogue storms or anything, I actually plan on doing my entire radio schedule next week. But after that storm that came through earlier in the week, it seemed like it took forever for my internet to get back to normal. So seems to be okay now. So we'll try to get things back to normal next week. We are out of here, folks. I'm not putting anything extra in tonight because as I mentioned, my birthday's next week. The wife's birthday's tomorrow, so I got to get up and do all kinds of surprise-y type stuff. So I'm going to go to bed now. You guys take care. God bless. We will see you next week. I'm just running this again because we didn't play any commercials. See you guys tomorrow, or see you guys Monday, because I keep forgetting what day it is. Good night, Gracie.
Oh, let me tell you something. I am so sick of Washington and all its works, all them politicians down there and them congressmen. I'll bet you won't find none of them congressmen signing down their electric blankets tonight. Which if they did, their secretaries would get up and go home.
We gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're gonna lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is, huh?
Friday! Friday! Friday!